We're going to go straight into our preaching service. Happy tonight to have Brother David Edmondson with us from Madisonville, Kentucky. Preaches where old Maurice Montgomery used to be. Maurice and I go way back. Well, David, as far as that matter, we go way back. And I'm so honored to have you here. I'm honored just to know these people. Just to know. I tell you, I talk a lot about Henry Mayhem because he was my pastor. But I was honored just to know him. I want folks to know that I knew him. And I want folks to know that I know these men. These men preaching the same gospel he did. Same gospel. And is this gospel necessary? Oh, my soul. I won't even go into the details of what some of them have to suffer just to be here. Just to be here. My soul. What a privilege. What a privilege. Brother David from Bible Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. Come on up and preach.
Good evening, everyone. It is an honor and privilege to be here. I thank you for having me. I love you, Darvin. You're a dear, dear friend, and it's a privilege. I ditto what you say to be here with these other two pastors who I love so much, both of them. My text tonight will be found in 1 John chapter 5, if you would turn there with me, please. 1 John chapter 5. And I'd like to start by asking a question. Why are we meeting together this weekend? Why has this small group of believers gone to the expense to have three preachers, one from Virginia, one from Tennessee, and one from Kentucky, here this weekend? Why are you in church services on a Friday night? Some of your friends say you're crazy. Friday night and you're at church? You're going to church on a Friday night? Are you here because a loved one wanted you to come? Are you here because you've been told that you need to be in church? Are you here to fill an obligation you feel you have to God? Are you here for some relief of conscience and guilt of sin? Are you here because you want to be a better person? Are you here because you want to live right and you think that going to church will accomplish that? Well, if you're here for any of those reasons, you've missed the real need of coming. And you wouldn't be the only one. There are multitudes of people this world over who attend churches that supposedly provide all these things that men and women seek, but in going, they're not one centimeter closer to life eternal. And that's what I want to talk to you about just a little bit tonight, if I can. If you're here to seek first the kingdom of God, I tell you that from this book, God Himself promises you you'll find the kingdom of God. If you're here to seek first His righteousness, that righteousness that only God Himself can provide and that God Himself requires, you'll find it. I can assure you will. I guarantee you will. Anybody that's ever been that's ever wanted to be saved, I mean really wanted to be saved, really wanted to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they found him. Well, he found them. And if you're here, you'll find the one thing needful. You know, there's just one thing needful when we narrow it all down, just one thing needful. And that's salvation, that's eternal life. And both of those are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is eternal life. Isn't that what he said? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, no woman, no body, no sinner cometh to the Father but by him. Now you might ask, I'm asked this quite often, or accused of, do you think your church is special? You've been asked that, Gabe. Do y'all think y'all are special? Well, I do. I think this church is special, and it's not because I love your pastor, and it's not because many of you have become dear friends to me. This church is special for one reason only, and that's because of the gospel that's preached here. One thing needful is preached here. Why is it so important to hear the gospel? Obviously, many folks don't think that it's important because they don't preach it. Have you ever heard this one, Gabe? Y'all think y'all the only ones. Well, I've looked pretty extensively in my area, and I don't mean to be arrogant, but we kind of are. We are. I don't know of anyone else preaching this message. Why is it so important to hear this gospel? It's the only way that you'll ever be saved. Only one way. Narrow is the way. Narrow is the way. Sinners are saved through the preaching of the gospel. It pleased God by the foolishness of what the world calls foolishness, the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. You're going to hear this message through a man that tells you the truth about God, tells you the truth about you, and tells you that one way that you can be saved. That's how you're going to be saved. Do you have a need of salvation? I'm not talking about getting saved. Everybody in false religion is getting saved. Do you ever notice that? I recently read an advertisement on a church website that said, getting saved is the most important thing you'll ever do. Not long ago, I saw a church sign that said, getting saved is the best decision you'll ever make. That's false advertising. It's true that salvation and redemption is the most important thing in all this world. Most important thing. But it's not something that you do. And it's not a decision that you make. Now, I'm not interested in getting saved. I can't get myself saved. I tried for years. I'm interested in being saved, and I'm interested in God saving me because he's the only one that can. I'm interested in having my sin put away. I'm interested in having eternal life. And you know, pretty much everybody knows what eternal life is. It's kind of self-defining, isn't it? Eternal life is life eternal. But only a few, only those whom God is pleased to reveal it to, know where eternal life is found. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 11. And this is the record. Now that word record means evidence. This is the evidence that God hath given to us eternal life. Don't miss that. Don't skip over that word given. You didn't get it. It was given to you. It's not something that you do to get. It's something that God gives to you freely. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not by works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift from God. This is the record. This is the evidence that God hath given to us eternal life. Now look at this last part. And this life is in his Son. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. This is the evidence that God gives. God hath given his people eternal life. And it's important to know that eternal life doesn't start when you get to heaven. That's the way people talk about it a lot of times. You know, it's something, eternal life doesn't come after you die. It's not a future event. John here, speaking to the believer, says, God hath, past tense, given to us eternal life. We have eternal life right now. Right now. Where is this eternal life found? And this life is in his Son. Isn't that so plain and so simple? That's the way I need it given to me. Eternal life is in God's Son. Eternal life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Christ is our message. I have a dear friend who has attended our church all of his life, really. His mom and dad went there, and he ran into a cousin of mine. I may have told you this story. I probably have. I think I have. I tell pretty much the same stories over and over. But she asked him one time, he told her that, he said, my cousin is your preacher. And he said, yeah, he told her, he said, your cousin is my preacher. And she said, well, what did he preach this past Sunday? She said, same thing he preaches every Sunday. And she goes, oh, no, surely not. Same thing every Sunday? He said, well, he preaches it from a different text in the Bible, but it's the same message. And she didn't understand. But you do, don't you? It's the same message. God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That's the message. Jesus Christ and him crucified. To those who really desire eternal life, God will give it to you. Well, what if I'm not one of God's elect? Well, if you desire redemption, you are one of God's elect. If you really desire to be saved, then God's already given you life. Death does not bring us eternal life. Christ Jesus brings to us eternal life. John didn't say he that dies in Christ shall have eternal life, even though the sinner who does die in the Lord Jesus most certainly will. And I suppose before us tonight in these two verses, we have one of the clearest declarations of truth found in all the Bible. And this is a gospel declaration given to those who desire to be saved, who desire their sin to be put away. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. There's nothing about that for us to misunderstand, is there? Now, there's plenty there for us not to believe, but nothing that we should have trouble understanding. If you trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be the only suitable substitute and sacrifice for your sin, then you have life. You already have it. It doesn't come after you die. It doesn't start when you get to heaven. He that hath the Son hath life. But there's another side to that verse. That verse doesn't stop there, does it? It says, he that hath not the Son hath not life. There's nothing in verse 12, as I said, for us to misunderstand. And this is why John wrote these words. Why? That we might believe, he said. That's why your pastor studies and prepares to preach to you so that you might believe. might believe what? That life is in God's Son. Look at verse 13. These things, John said, I've written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, that you may know what? That you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, to have eternal life is to believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, what does it mean to believe on the name of the Son of God? Have you ever really thought about that? It's not hard. Nothing about this message hard. It's impossible to believe unless God divinely intervenes and shows it to you, but there's nothing hard about it to understand. The name of Jesus means God is salvation. Do you believe that? The name Jesus means Jehovah saves. Do you believe that God is salvation? Do you believe that only Jehovah saves, or do you believe that you save yourself? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This Jesus who saves is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Christ. Christ is his title. His title tells us who he is. Christ means the Messiah. It means the anointed one. It means the chosen one. Christ is God's elect. We're elect in him. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? If you believe Jesus is the Lord who saves his people from their sin, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one, then you believe on his name. And you believe that you have eternal life, and you have it right now. You know, the flower didn't receive life when it bloomed. The flower bloomed because it already had life. What about old Lazarus? 3 days dead. Stinking dead. That's what we were. Stinking dead. Lazarus didn't receive life after he came forth, did he? Well, you know he didn't. He came forth because Christ had already given him life. The Lord Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, and he gave him life right then, and that's when he came forth. If a dead man can take the first step, then he can go all the way to God. But taking that first step's the issue when you're dead. You got to be given life first. The problem lies within the first step. And listen, I know this. I know that we see through a glass darkly and dimly. Boy, I have learned that from personal experience. But we do see, because he's given us life. Not as we'll one day see when our sins put away, for then we'll see face to face. Now I know in part, but I do know Christ. I know who he is. He's God. I know what he's done for me, the sinner that I am. He's given me life, eternal life, life eternal, everlasting life. And one day, very soon, I'll know him even as I'm known by him. One day, I will know Christ in the same fullness and in the same perfection that he knows me. I can't wait for that day. If God has revealed Christ to me, then I am saved, because he that hath the Son hath life. How do I know if I have life eternal? Well, John tells us by our love for the brethren. That's one way we know that we've passed from death to life. I know that by enduring to the end, we shall be saved. What about those who do not endure to the end? Did they lose their salvation? No, they never had it. They never knew Christ. They never had eternal life. Turn back a few pages to 1 John chapter 2, if you would. Again, so plain. Look at verse 19. Speaking of those who made a profession of faith in Christ, those who did not endure to the end, John tells us something about them right here. Verse 19 says this about them. They went out from us. They left the assembling of themselves together with the believers and the followers of Christ. They stopped hearing the preaching of the gospel. They lost interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what John means when he said they went out. Did they lose their salvation? No, they never had it. They went out from us, but they were not of us. See that? They weren't of us. They never were a child of God. John proceeds, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. They would have endured with us. And John insinuates that there's no doubt about it because he says there they would have no doubt continued. But they didn't. Why then did they leave? He tells us that they might be made manifest. That it might be revealed. What might be revealed? That they were not all of us. They never did truly believe. Isn't that so alarming? You know, I've known people that have sat under the gospel for 35 and 40 years, and they're gone. And I think to myself, how can that be? They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they'd been of us, no doubt they'd have continued with us. That's what God says. That's not what this preacher says. That's what God says. Those that are well, those that have no problems, those who are not sick, they have no need of a physician. Who does then? Those that are sick. Those that are diseased. Those that are dying. That's who has a need. You know, I like my doctor, but I don't make an appointment and give him $100 just because I like him. I go to the doctor when I'm sick, when I need help. Do you see that you're sick? Do you see that you have a great need? Oh, that God might be pleased to show us our need. That woman with the issue of blood, she saw her need, didn't she? She spent all she had on physicians, and the scripture says she grew worse. She needed the great physician, and she found it at the hem of his garment. That was at his feet. Blind Bartimaeus, he had a great need, and the Lord Jesus found him, on the highway side begging. Christ said, "What would you have me to do unto you?" And Bartimaeus said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And immediately he received his sight. You see, by nature, we're all blind. We can't see. We can't see our great physician. We need eyes of faith to see. The demoniac of Gadara, he needed Christ. Christ came to him among the tombs of the dead. That's where the Lord found me. Among the tombs of the dead. And I was having a big old time. The Lord asked him his name. He said, "My name is Legion." He said, "For we're many." And Christ said, "Well, now your name is Righteous and you're mine." That's what he said to me. The man with the withered hand, he needed him. He could not will his withered hand to work. Don't you think he would have if he could have? That's what preachers are telling men and women today. Will yourself well. Well, hard for a dead man to will anything, isn't it? But the Lord enabled him to stretch his hand forth, and it was restored as the other one. There was a woman who was bowled over, the scripture says, bowled over the earth. She couldn't straighten herself nor lift herself up. Religion commands men and women to do so. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps. It don't work. The Lord Jesus said, "Woman, thou art blessed from thine iniquity." And immediately she was made straight and she glorified God. Are you glorifying the God who loosed you from your iniquities? That impotent man at the pool of Bethesda, I've seen him so many times in my mind's eye. Remember what he said? He said, "I have no man to do for me. I have no man to put me in the water when the angel stirs the waters." But you know what he found out that day? He had the God man who told him to rise up and walk. And immediately he took up his bed and he walked. That's what the Lord did for this sinner. Do you see your need like they did? Oh, that God might show you your need. You know, I've come convinced of the fact that men and women's absence from worship is not a lack of commitment. It's a lack of need. Lack of need. But you ask a believer if they'll leave also, and they'll ask you this question, to whom shall we go? Christ and only Christ has the words to eternal life. Isn't that what Peter said? If you can go away and if you can stay away, it's God manifesting that you're not one of his people. Oh, I don't want to be one of them. Friends, God is faithful that promised. Boy, you think about that. God is faithful that promised. Everything in this book that he's promised me, he's faithful to fulfill. Now, sometimes we don't get exactly what we want or the way we want it, but he knows what's best. We don't. My, my. What else is the... He's promised us eternal life. That's what we see in our text, isn't it? He that hath the Son hath life. Do you have Christ? That's the most important question ever asked in the scriptures. What think ye of Christ? What else has he promises? He's promised his people that they'll overcome the world. Oh, we get so bogged down by this world. This world is such a negative place. I know there's nothing new under the sun, but it sure seems like lately it's just gotten worse, doesn't it? But he said, you'll overcome the world. Back in John chapter 5 here, in verse 4, look what it says, John 5, verse 4. For whatsoever, and that includes whosoever, is born of God, overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. What is? Even our faith. Even our believing. Believing what? Some things about God? No. Believing God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He didn't believe some things about God. He didn't believe there was a God, even though he did, but he believed God. He believed what God said. Do you believe what God says in this book? We're saved by grace through faith, as I quoted a moment ago, and that faith is the gift of God. Our Lord said, "No man can come unto me except it were given." Given. Unto him of my Father. Oh, if you're here tonight and you're resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was given to you. That's why we glorify God. We take no credit or honor for ourselves. Our God who promised has enabled us to overcome. You know, 8 times in the book of Revelation, the Lord talks about overcoming. You know, people are so intrigued with the book of Revelation, but the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, everybody wants to make it about, you know, the Armageddon and all these things. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me show you what the book of Revelation is all about. I won't turn you to these, but I can tell you pretty briefly. It's about the elect of God overcoming. In Revelation 2, verse 7, it says, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life." Revelation 2, verse 11, "He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Revelation 2, verse 17, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone with a new name within written." Revelation 2, verse 26, "He that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations." Revelation 3, verse 5, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Revelation 3, verse 12, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I'll write upon him my new name." He's called the Lord our righteousness. You know what? That makes my name righteous. He's my righteousness. Revelation 3, verse 21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne." Revelation 21, verse 7, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." He's my daughter, his children. Who is it that overcomes? How do they overcome? Look at verse 5 here in our text, 1 John chapter 5. "Who is he that overcometh the world? It's he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Son of God. Do you believe on the Son of God? Then you have eternal life. "For he that hath the Son hath life." John 16:33, the Lord said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." In me. That's where you're going to find peace. That's where you're going to find rest, in him, nowhere else. "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We overcome because he overcame. We don't do anything. Look at verse 10 here in our text. "He that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him, being God, a liar, because he believeth not the record," the evidence, "that God gave of his Son." Faith, you know, we have all these faith teachers today talking about faith. You know, faith is this, faith is that. Faith is believing God, believing what God says in this book. In our country's court system, the judge tells the jury to consider the evidence given in the trial and to make their verdict dependent on the evidence that they've heard. Well, do you believe the evidence that our great advocate has given us? If you do, then you have life. And if you don't, then you don't. And it's just that simple, isn't it? He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. What is faith? It's to believe God. Paul gave Timothy and us a very good definition of faith. Without faith, we know that it's impossible to please God, and I want to please God. I know that in and of myself, I can't. But in 2 Timothy, you don't have to turn there, chapter 1, verse 12, Paul told Timothy, he said, I am not ashamed. And here's some reasons why he wasn't and why we won't be ashamed. First thing is, he said, for I know whom I have believed. Not what. I know whom I have believed. Faith is having a knowledge of Christ. I know whom I've believed. By God's grace, I know who Jesus Christ is. It's by divine revelation that I know it. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's very God, a very God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Secondly, I know what he did. In the fullness of time, God sent him forth. He was made of a woman. He was made under the law. And he perfectly obeyed that law. He dotted every I. He crossed every T of the law. He kept the law perfectly. He obeyed the law. He paid the wages of sin. He died the just for the unjust. He brought us to God. He redeemed them that were under the law. He adopted them as his children. That's what he did. He saved his people from their sin. Thirdly, faith is the sinner being persuaded and having confidence in who Christ is and in who Christ and what Christ did. I'm persuaded that he, Christ, is able. I'm confident that he's able to do anything and everything. Are you confident of that? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can think or ask. I'm persuaded that he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. Fourthly, faith is a commitment to Christ. He's able to keep everything that I've committed unto him against that day. In that day of judgment, I can be assured that he did all things well for me, and he did all things for my good. Isn't that what Romans 8:28 tells us? I can rest confidently in the fact that he provided the very perfect righteousness that I needed to be accepted of God. And there are some things that the child of God knows. Look down at verse 20 and I'll finish up. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. There's that word given again. What do we understand? We understand that we may know him that is true and that we are in him that is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is true God and eternal life. Now there you have it, eternal life. What is it? Well, I know this, it's in his Son. I know that God the Son has come to save sinners, to put the sin of chosen sinners away by the sacrifice of himself. I know that he came to give me an understanding. He came to reveal himself to me and in me. He came that I may know him that is true. He came to know, to teach me and reveal to me the power of his resurrection. You know, I'll rise again because he arose from the dead. God has accepted his perfect and finished work, and he's accepted me in him. There's no other place that I can be accepted but in him. And that's what you're going to hear this whole weekend from these men. He that hath the Son hath life. I know that I am in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now remember, this is the record. This is the evidence. God hath given to us eternal life, and that eternal life is where? In his Son. There's no blessings, there's no benefits apart from a living union with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way. Not a way. The way. There was once a man who traveled to a far and foreign land on urgent business. And while gone on business, his wife had a serious accident, and he immediately scheduled the one and the only flight there was to return home that day. And on the way back to the airport in the car that he had rented, he got lost. I mean real lost. You ever get lost? I know you men have, because you, like me, you won't stop and ask directions. You just keep on till you. I know it's right up here somewhere, but this man got lost. And so he was finally able to wave down a policeman that spoke broken English, and he gave him directions, but the directions that he gave the man were unclear at best. And this husband who loved his wife and wanted to get home by her side, but by her side, he became even more distraught because of the departure of his flight was fast approaching. And the man, without thinking, he just cried out, "Won't somebody please help me?" You ever been there? It was then that he heard a man with a kind voice, in perfect English, by the way, say, "Sir, I can take you to the airport if you'll just follow me." And what comforting words those were to his ear. The policeman that he had found and waved down told him the way to the airport, but the man that found him became the way. See the difference? Someone can tell you the way, and it may or may not be. It may be unclear at best. No man, no woman, no sinner, nobody finds the way home to God but by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by him. And he's not an unclear way. I think, if nothing else, these verses we looked at show us that. That's exactly what our Lord has done for his people. Our Lord in the gospel has told us the way, and then he said, "Follow me." And he became the way. He became the way. Nobody finds their way home to God but by him. You've got to have him. You've got to have him. Thank God for Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. And this is the record. This is the evidence that God hath given to us eternal life. Are you interested in life eternal? I think everyone is. The problem is everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And that's die to self, to die to their will, to die to their way, to die to their decision. But you're going to have to die. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And the people of God said, amen. 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 Thank you so much.